One of the women who came before him was Hind, Abu Sufyan's wife, who was on the blacklist for her mutilation of Hamza's body after the Battle of Uhud. She remained defiant. "Forgive me what is past," she said, with no hint of apology, "and God will forgive you." Muhammad asked her if she would undertake not to commit adultery, theft, or infanticide. Would she promise not to kill her children? To this Hind replied, "I brought them up when they were little, but you killed them on the day of Badr when they were grown up." Muhammad tacitly conceded the point. Hind decided to convert to Islam, telling Muhammad that he could not continue to proceed against her now that she was a professing Muslim. The Prophet smiled and told her that, of course, she was free. Soon, Hind would see her husband and sons given important office in the Ummah as a reward for Abu Sufyan's cooperation. Relatives of Safwan and Ikrimah begged for their lives. Muhammad promised that if they accepted his leadership, they were free to enter Mecca. Both decided to return, and Ikrimah was the first to accept Islam. Muhammad greeted him affectionately and forbade anybody to vilify his father, Abu Jahl. Safwan and Suhail both swore fealty to Muhammad, but could not yet make the Muslim profession of faith, though they changed their minds a few days later. Once Muhammad had secured the city, he had to deal with the tribes of Hawazin and Thaqif, who had mustered an army of 20,000 men at nearby Ta'if. Muhammad managed to defeat them at the Battle of Hunain at the end of January 630, and the Hawazin joined Muhammad's confederacy. The Muslims were not able to take Ta'if itself, but the city became so isolated through the loss of its chief Bedouin ally that it was forced to capitulate a year later. When he divided the booty after his victory at Hunain, Muhammad gave Abu Sufyan, Suhail, and Safwan the lion's share. Safwan was so overcome that he instantly made his surrender. "I bear witness that no soul could have such goodness as this if it were not the soul of the Prophet," he cried. "I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that you are his messenger." Suhail followed his example. Some of the helpers were offended by this apparent favouritism. Did it mean that Muhammad would abandon them now that he had been reunited with his own tribe? Muhammad instantly reassured them by making a moving speech which reduced many of them to tears. He would never forget their generosity to him while he was a mere refugee, and promised that far from settling in Mecca, he would make Medina his home for the rest of his life. "Are you not satisfied that other men should take away flocks and herds, while you take back with you the apostle of God?" he asked. "If all men went one way and the helpers another, I should take the way of the helpers. God have mercy on the helpers, their sons and their sons' sons." It was a strange conquest, and an impartial observer might have wondered why the Muslims and the Quraysh had fought at all. Muhammad kept his word and returned to Medina with the emigrants and helpers. He did not attempt to rule Mecca himself, nor did he replace the Quraysh officials with his own companions, nor did he establish a purist Islamic regime. All former dignitaries kept their positions in the Haram and the Assembly, and the status quo remained intact. His most hated enemies were not only reinstated, but promoted and showered with gifts.